Hello and welcome back to the show, Domestic Violence for Men. I am your host, Andy Reyna. And I know in the past on other podcasts, I've had a lot of information pertaining to what abuse is, the various aspects of abuse, the effects of abuse. But on this episode, what I really want to do is I want to dive into the way we escape abuse and the way we get alone, or not alone, but away. And I know oftentimes men have a difficulty coming forward and saying that they're in an abusive relationship. And the verbal abuse is very heated sometimes in these situations. And you sit there and you think about what are you going to do, what your next move is going to be. So in this episode, what I want to kind of cover is some highlights that I've really been thinking about lately on how to get yourself out of that situation, how to think of yourself as yourself, to protect yourself and to protect your children and to protect your sanity, most importantly. Recently, I've been speaking to an individual from Australia who is currently in the process of setting up a domestic abuse group and support group. And his group is called The Shame of Silence, or SOS for Men. And I've been trying to work with him to see if we can bring that over to the United States. And hopefully later on in different podcasts, you'll be able to hear me talk about it. But these are the things that we need to do in order to bring this to light. The other thing is currently what you can do in your situation, and I know what I've done anyway, is I've taken as much documentation as I could. Pictures, recordings, audio recordings on my phone, presented those to the police. Oftentimes that's a challenge. But the thing is that sometimes you have to think about yourself first and foremost. And I know for myself, I didn't do that. I didn't do that at all, actually. You know, for 10 years, I didn't do that. And, you know, there was a ton of red flags. There was a lot of signals for me to get out of there. And it was just hard to make the choice to say I'm done, especially with children involved. And there was a lack of resources that I ran up against. At that time, I was going to a Christian church, and it was kind of hard for me to go against the beliefs of having a divorce or bringing this forward. It was one of those things of, you know, this is basically what you signed up for, and how do I make it better? The other thing that I had a hard time dealing with was the shame of knowing that it was taking place, and the shame of knowing that I have to come home to that every single day. The other thing, the one thing really, that was number one for me, and maybe you guys can relate to this, but was denial. You know, I started making excuses for things. I started, you know, covering up marks. I started, like, lying about why my arms were scraped up or my back was scraped up or why I had a scratch across my face. And this went on for years. And I'll tell you, it's hard for a guy to have a support system that it's actually going to be there. Friends didn't want to get involved. Family didn't want to get involved. Like, really, nobody wanted to say anything. I don't know if it was a fact of them not knowing what to say or them not knowing how to get involved or to help out. But it was a struggle for me to even talk to anybody. And in most cases, people didn't know what to say. People didn't know how to react. They had very default answers of, hey, I'm here for you, or, you know, stick it out, things will get better. But as it progressed, I started noticing some things about myself and how I was changing as an individual. And some of these things really started affecting me. You know, I started noticing that I wasn't as active as I used to be. One of the things that I know I've touched on my other podcast are the simple fact that I would have severe headaches all the time. And for years, I was taking ibuprofen and Aleve, thinking that it was just stress from my job or, you know, hey, the kids are acting up and I'm getting stressed out. But in fact, it was actually the domestic violence, the verbal, the walking on eggshells, the rages that would come out that started, my body just started like flipping out. And I didn't know why. So I would just cover it up with ibuprofen or Aleve or whatever the case may be. And I know oftentimes you sit there and you lie in bed and, or you have those moments where, you know, you wonder what's the next thing going to happen? When is the next shoe going to drop? And, you know, for me, it finally just got to a breaking point, where I just said enough's enough. And I just went for a divorce and I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know what was going to go on with the kids. But I just knew that it was the right thing to do. And really on this podcast, what I want to talk about is certain things that I know I have experienced moving on from an abusive relationship. Some of the things that I did during that time period, during the abuse and when it was taking place. So if there's anybody listening out there and they are in a situation where it's dangerous or they feel as though they are in danger or threatened or anything along those lines, I highly suggest to get out. Find a shelter. I know I did that. I was in a shelter for 3 days trying to figure out what my next move is going to be. But I would suggest getting out as fast as you can, as fast as you can, before, because it's only going to get worse. And like I say on most of my podcasts, if there's a friend you can find, if there's a family member, a church member, the police, anybody, raise your hand and bring awareness to this, because the more people that we have that are coming forward, that are telling their story, the more and more things will change. And the only way things change is not by the government. I'm not anti-government. I'm not, hey, you know, the government's going to come after you, or, you know, they're zeroing in on you and they're listening in on you. I was just told a long time ago, and I believe this is true. I was told a long time ago that nothing changes by the government. The people make the change, and then the government sees it and they make a change. So the only way this is going to happen is by people stepping forward and by people just letting the authorities know of what's going on and what needs to happen. So the first thing that I know I had to do, the first step in all this, was admitting that there was a problem and seeking some sort of help. I know what I did was I reached out to a woman's shelter. And there was an individual I knew there that was the director at the time, and she helped me, you know, stay at the shelter, even though at that time it was women, but they were making a transition for letting men there too. And I stayed there for 3 days. I don't want any guy out there, I don't want any man out there, or even a woman, to feel ashamed. I think you need to come forward, and I think you need to do something about it. It's time to be brave, and it's time to be courageous. And it's just time to step up and get out as soon as you can. The other thing that I found that was very helpful was sharing my details as much as possible against the abuser. So talk to friends, talk to family members, talk to police, find out what you need to do, talk to a shelter. As this podcast goes on, I'm going to try to leave as much information as I can to call somebody to help you out. I know there was one time where I called the domestic hotline in here in the United States, and they spoke to me on the phone, because there was one instance where I left the situation because the argument was getting out of control and it was going to the brink of violence. So I decided to leave, just for a half hour or an hour, just to kind of collect myself. And I left, and I distinctly remember this. I left and I went to Burger King drive-through, and I'm driving around aimlessly before I get there, and I get through Burger King drive-through, and guess who's behind me, following me in the midst of all this? I was stalked. I was followed through the drive-through. And at that point, I started realizing that this isn't right. Like, normal people do not stalk you. Normal people do not yell and scream at you. Normal people do not throw things at you, destroy the house, destroy your property. Normal people do not act that way. And those things just started coming to light more and more and more for me. So at that time, I had my phone turned off because I knew just from the pattern that she would be calling me. And she did. And she left me voicemails, harassing voicemails, threatening me on the voicemails, and that type of thing. And it was just one of those things where I had to call somebody, and as I was on the phone, I walked to the house, and they heard it, and they told me to leave. So when I went to go leave again, you know, the phone was taken out of my hand, it was hung up on, and it just became a very bad situation. So, like I said, if any of these things ring true with you, leave as quickly as you can. The other thing is, do not retaliate. You know, in the beginning, the very early stages, when things really, you know, at that point, you're like, well, maybe it was just a bad argument, or, you know, somebody was having a bad day, or things got out of control. I would always stand my ground verbally, not physically, but verbally. It got to a point where that just started becoming a waste of my time. But I could tell you that do not retaliate, because it will be used against you, especially if you're a man. There was actually one thing I read online. It was in Illinois, where there was a guy who was, excuse me, there was a guy who, his girlfriend was beating him up. And she started stabbing him. And when he fought back, they pressed charges on him. I mean, ultimately, the woman was killed in the process. But the story is, from what I've read in the court, document, is that he was trying to defend himself from a woman coming at him with a knife. So my thing to men is, do not retaliate. Shut your mouth, walk away if you can, and in the process, hit your phone and start recording. So, again, that's a good segue into my next one, which is, get as much evidence as you can of abuse, pictures, documents, audio recordings, that type of stuff, and keep everything on hand, so that way you can show anybody at the drop of a hat. Keep it all in a folder. Keep it all, and don't keep it on your phone. Keep it in a, keep it in the cloud. Keep it in Google Drive. Keep it in something that is not accessible. Because I could tell you that one instance for me, this is from experience, is that my phone was taken away from me while I wasn't looking, and the SD card was taken out, which stored all of my information. So believe me when I tell you to keep everything remotely somewhere, where that way you have total access to it. The other thing, excuse me, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I know I've been clearing my throat a lot lately, but my allergies have been killing me. Yeah, I live right outside Chicago. The rain that's been coming in here has been hideous and horrific, and it's been nonstop for the last couple of days. So I apologize if I sound like I'm always clearing my throat, but my sinuses have really been kicking up along with my allergies. So anyway, thank God for Claritin. Once again, shout out to Claritin. So getting back to all this, what I really want to do is kind of circle back. And like I said, the one thing that I know I've done in the past is I've called the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And if you guys don't know about it, the number is 1-800-799-7233. That's the one that I know for the United States. The other one that I found online, and people in the UK may correct me, I'm not familiar with UK phone numbers and how they work, but I'm going to try the best I can. The one that I have, that I found anyway, is called Mankind Initiative, which is 01823334244. And that is a domestic violence support line as well, located in the UK. There's another one that I found, which is in Australia, which is the 1 in 3 campaign. And I'm not too familiar with that. I tried to do a little research on it and how they operate. But they do give help, police, lifeline, victims, access line, support groups, men's line, Australia. It's a generic helpline for men. You can find that at mensline.org.au. Dads in Distress is another one you can find. Men's Rights Agency, Family Advocacy. And there's a slew of them, looks like in the for the people down under. But I know, like I said, I've been working with a guy in Australia that I met in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in for domestic violence for men, and he is working on a campaign, and hopefully, hopefully we will be able to bring that over to the States and get support groups going. I've been trying to talk to local counselors, local lawyers. I want to try to get something established where men can come forward, feel safe, feel not ashamed of what they've been going through. And I really want guys to lock arms and be the warriors that we are. I know that sometimes you're told that, you know, hey, be a man about it. But really, you got to sit back and think, what would a real man do? A real man would get himself out of the situation. He would protect himself. He would protect his children. And he would protect his situation in life. That's what a real man would do. A real man would just not take it. So I suggest for anybody out there, especially men and any woman, that let's get together. And let's bring this crime to the forefront of society, and let's make sure that we are able to stomp out this sort of behavior that people fall victim to more often than not. I was reading some of the stats, and they're just amazing. And, you know, the one question that I had was, what about the people who don't report it? These aren't being reported on stats, because how are they going to be on the stats? So, you know, the thing is that we really need to bring this to the forefront of society. We need to make sure that people who are abusive know that they can't get away with it anymore. And we need to make sure that our family, that ourselves are protected. So I really want to end this podcast on the note of, please be careful. I want everybody to look at their situation, and if they feel that they're in danger, seek help as soon as you can. The other note I want to finish up on is, if you guys are listening to this podcast, please let's get together. Let's do something that we can formulate and bring some kind of something against all this. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And as always, please be careful. If you need help with anything, call the authorities right away. Get out of your situation. And hopefully I will talk to you guys again by the end of this coming week. You guys have a good week and be careful. And let's bring this crime to an end.